All right, I want to read a prophetic word from Annie, not from Friday night. This is from the last time she was here. So this is November 20th, 2016. No, this is from 2016. So maybe this wasn't the last. I don't know when this was. She was here. She gave this word. She said, "He is bringing a new level of authority to you. And it's coming to this house. And it's not an exchange of authority. It's the age of authority. It's the season of authority. And he wants you to know that. He says, I'm not passing batons, I'm multiplying your scepters. And he wants you to hear that in this house, that's what's happening. That he's not, it's not just at your leadership level. Your time of just living as a man lives is coming to an end, and you are entering into the age of authority over your life. It's no longer time for you to sit back and say, well, I hope, maybe. God might. It's time for you to recognize that you are called a co-heir of salvation and you are a son of righteousness and you have a spirit of adoption on you. The whole Bible points to this moment where Jesus came to transition authority to you so the fullness of the King of Kings could come through your life and bring a radical change to the world that we are living in, and you are no longer living and planning and standing like a man. You are no longer relegated to plans of your past. You are moving into a season where authority is yours. Everybody say that. Authority is yours. Now say, authority is mine. Where your word and your face brings refreshing to people and brings favor over people. That is what God is releasing over this house today. He is releasing you into the authority of who you are. Man, that is a powerful word. I believe Annie has a specific call and mandate on her life, and she is aware of it to awaken the church. You know, so many thoughts. You know, it is one thing to move into an understanding of salvation and that the kingdom is for salvation. But if that's all we understand, we get saved and then what? Right? We just get saved and we think, you know, and then we get other people saved and other people get other people saved, which is great. But when you get an awareness that you are saved into the kingdom, that you have a specific role to play, God needs you. He wants you. You carry authority to see things happen. Man, that's when the devil gets worried. I think he worries when people get saved, but when they come to really know who they are, that's when he worries. Amen. Oh, dear Jesus, help me. If you could maybe get that for me. Turn to Joel. We're going to go to Joel. Mike, you can probably give him a hand. He'll need some help. Pastor Rod, and he'll probably speak more into this. Pastor Rod just kind of floated this out there last week as a prophetic word, which was, you know, we need to grab a hold of the prophet in the house, prophets in the house. And he read Joel. So turn to Joel 3. Verse 9. And I was excited about it, and as I began to read different translations, I became more and more excited about it. Yeah, please, yeah. Joel 3:9 says this, and we're going to read till, we're just going to read. Joel 3:9 says, "Proclaim this among the nations, prepare for war." You know, there would have been a day where we'd be like, all right, we're going to war, we're going to we're going to yell and scream. It's not the same. Proclaim this among the nations, prepare for war. I love this. Wake up the mighty men. So let's, because there's no, neither male nor female. We know there is male or female, but in the spirit, you understand what I'm saying. Say this, wake up the mighty ones. Turn to your neighbor and say, wake up, mighty one. Turn to your other neighbor and say, wake up, mighty one. Let all the men of war draw near, let them come up. And then he said this, beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears, and let the weak say, I am strong. There's another translation that actually says, let the weak say, I am a mighty one. Anybody ever feel weak? Okay, it doesn't say that we're not going to feel weak, but it says, let the weak say, I am strong, or I'm a mighty one. It's interesting that Isaiah and Micah talk about beating your swords into plowshares, but Joel talks about beating your plowshares into swords. And there's, I looked up that. I'm not even going to try to get into the whole theological dissertation and all that. The point is this, though, that there are times when we have to beat something that we have and make it into war. And there's times when we go not to war. We actually go into sowing and reaping. And because plowshares and all that are things of, what are they things of? Harvest. They're things of harvest. So I've had this anvil sitting in my office. Mike brought it in. And I looked it up, and I didn't even know what a plowshare was and a pruning hook. A pruning hook is I kind of have something like it. A pruning hook is what you would do. It's like a sickle. It's like trimming and doing all that good things. Not a boomerang. I won't throw it. That could be devastating. But this whole thing's talking about beating what you have into a sword. Beating this pruning hook into a sword. And I got thinking about it. Turn, you know, keep that there. Maybe put something in your Bible there. And turn to Ephesians. It's funny how God drops little things all week and starts to explode in your heart. Because the thing that got me is it was saying that we are to beat, go to Ephesians 1. We are to beat these things, so a pruning hook into a spear. We are to do this. And I have always found in the body of Christ, there is this, remember, I talked about tension a while back. It's like, what part do we play and what part does God play? And I'm going to probably repeat this over and over many, many times because we have to learn the part that is God's and the part that is ours. Everybody say yes. Because sometimes the body of Christ goes way too far and does nothing and says, grace, grace, grace. But then it's easy. Anybody find it easy to flip over to law by accident and try to do everything yourself? It's like, you know, I talk about working out a lot. I like to try to work out and keep into shape. I don't sit on my workbench and go, all right, I'm just going to sit here and let it all happen to me. My muscles are just going to grow. There's a part that I have to do, right? Oh, I love that. Wouldn't that be so much easier if you could just think about jogging and have your cardio increase? Oh, that would be so great. It just doesn't work like that. But there's a part, though, that if we shift too far and we get things out of whack, I'll tell you, we move right back into the law and don't even realize it. And I found myself getting ready with this message, being challenged of going, man, my thoughts sometimes go right back to the law. So turn if you're there, Ephesians. We're going to go Ephesians 1, verse 15. I love this scripture. I've read it many times, but we're going to actually read a lot of Ephesians for what we have time for. It says, therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. Okay, so these are Christians. These are saints, right? We're all saints, by the way. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are a saint. It's not something that you work towards. You are. Okay, let's just set that right. Once you have Jesus Christ, you have righteousness. You are righteous. You cannot get any better. But you want to work out your salvation, and that's what we're kind of talking about. Verse 16, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Here we go. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. If you don't pray that, you need to pray that on a regular basis. God, I pray that you give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation, and then I would have incredible knowledge of who you are. And it continues. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Another great prayer. God, open my eyes to see that which I don't see. That your understanding may be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe. Let's just read that last line again. And what is the exceeding greatness? Now, you know I'm a word person. It's not because I'm so intelligent with words. It's actually because I don't always understand. I feel like there's deeper meanings. So I don't know about you, but when I see something like exceeding greatness, I want to know the fullness of that. It simply means the extraordinary greatness, the exceptional greatness, the greatness that goes beyond and surpasses and superior and greater than any other greatness. How many want that greatness? Like, seriously, she said it on Friday night. Aren't you tired of living below as Christians? It doesn't it say that we're the head and not the tail? And we often think, oh, they're going to dominate. No, we're not talking about that. But I don't know about you, but, oh, man, Don's not in here yet, is he? Man, he actually is a living proof of what she prophesied on Friday night. Because she talked about, just to, you know, this is one of the prophetic words. She said, people will come to this building because when they step foot, all the confusion goes. Peace enters. And they may not even enjoy the service all the time, but they come because they have a place where they can find peace. And I don't know if you heard him testify about how all those things were beginning to go in his life. That's amazing. I'm determined that we're going to start exploding in here with our joy because these are phenomenal things. Okay, so it says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe? Like, think about that for a minute. Paul's talking about this greatness that far surpasses any greatness. And it's not just great, it's the exceeding greatness of his power. Exceeding greatness of his power. Just think about those words that he's using. He's not trying to just be flowery with his words. This is like kind of okay power. You know, this is kind of does its thing that it's supposed to do. This is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe. Okay, I'll read a little more. I'm really excited about this. According to the working. Now, so it's like this. If you're trying to describe something and you don't just go like, Paul does it all the time. He tries to describe the love and he's like, oh, it's, you know, God's love for you is like the bride and the body of Christ, or the bride and the bridegroom. He tries to explain it like a wedding, right? He's always trying to find ways to show you what it looks like. So here he's like, okay, there's a great power that is towards you. It's aimed towards you. You're going to find out it's in you. And he says, okay, let me describe it. It's like the verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. So how powerful is it? This power is so powerful, verse 20, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places. How many know that that's, I don't know any other power that raises somebody from the dead that's been dead for 3 days. I've never seen a greater power than that. You know, we watch movies with Thor. Because honestly, that's trying to like visuals of what people dream of. Do you realize that things that we see sometimes on the screen are simply the desires and longings of people that don't know Jesus Christ, but know that there's got to be more? So we create, you know, these images and gods of before. But listen, it's talking about Jesus who has a power that is so powerful. It's exceeding greatness. That power is so amazing that it's in Christ and it raised Christ from the dead. Yeah. Now, we just water baptized 4 people. Yes. So now they know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They've accepted him. They've repented going, you know, not only was I a sinner? Not only am I a sinner when they're saying this prayer, but I've been trying to do this whole thing on my own. I can't. I receive Jesus Christ. I receive his love. I receive his forgiveness. But listen, when they went into the baptism, their old man dies, and the exceeding greatness of his resurrection is put inside of them. What are we doing with it? That's the question of the hour. But so often, you know, you're wondering why this is here. You know, so often we know these things. By the way, put them in heavenly places. That's just awesome. There's so much I want to go through, but I don't have time. Let's just, before I go there, let's just read real quick. And he put, verse 21, far above. So where is he? Far above, a little above? Like close? No, far above. All principality, all power, and might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in which is to come. And he put a few things under his feet. Thank you, just making sure you're reading. He put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Okay, so he's not like a little bit over, like Krista's there, and so he's not just a little bit over. He's like far above all principalities. It's, anybody ever watched Secretariat? The movie Secretariat? How many raised? If you haven't, I'm sorry. You can't do spoiler alerts when it's like 10 years old, right? You haven't watched it a while. So Secretariat's this horse that just, man, he can run. And at the very end of the, like towards the end of the movie, it's like they unleash the fullness of Secretariat. But they're afraid because they're like, man, if anybody else were to run like this, their heart would explode. But he runs so fast. I remember the scene, like the horse just begins to go and everybody's like wide-eyed. You don't know what's going on because they're not showing you until the very end. And he crosses the finish line far above, you know, beyond everybody else, because you're like, okay, where are the other horses? Did he kill them? Because all the other horses show up after. Because he was far above and exceedingly greater than any horse ever lived. Still never been beat. Okay, like we have these images, but this is what God's talking about, the power that rests inside each and every one of us. And then he describes, hey, this is where I sit now, far above all the principalities and all the powers and all the might and dominion and every name. And then he put all things under his feet, not a few things, all things under his feet. And then he goes on in chapter 2 and describes, you were once like me. You were dead in all your junk, or as Karen would say, all your crap. Just being real. All your junk. You're dead. And then Jesus comes and sets you free. But he goes on and says this. Let's just read it. It's so good. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power, and the spirit of the air that now works in the sons of disobedience. Let's jump to verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his little bit of love. Nope. His great love with which he loved us. When we were perfect and better and all looked really good. Nope. When we were ugly and slimy still and falling down all the time and in the greatest darkness possible, he still loved us. And I'm fired up. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses or sins, he made us alive together with Christ. Not like beside Christ. He made us alive together with Christ. Now get this. And he raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Jesus Christ. So if Jesus Christ is far above, we are too. Now you're like, but we're on earth. Yeah, but our spirit man is supposed to be far above all principalities, powers, and all these things. And if we don't understand that, we keep living like we're living. And keep getting frustrated like we're frustrated. So then we go back to the law and trying to work ourselves up to be better people. And it doesn't work that way. It never will work that way because the law proved it didn't work that way. Why is it I get the heat and we only have a few minutes left? Like, I need more time. Okay. So that in the ages to come that he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, not that of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Now, if we stop there and we go, hey, we just got saved to get to heaven. Like, that's why he came. He died so we could get saved. We missed the whole point. Because then he says, verse 10, we get saved not by works, lest anyone should boast. So none of us can boast, right? Turn to your neighbor and say, there's no point in boasting because it had nothing to do with you anyway. Verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Yeah. Look at these world changers just walk through. Woo! Yeah. Come on, we celebrate you guys. It's awesome. You know, Denise and Eric have been on this journey a little longer, but Don is, you know, fairly new and Lisa's brand new. And as a body, we can't get tired of these moments because what we want to do is go, do you know what just got unleashed inside of you? An exceedingly great power. That's right. Beyond anything you can imagine. You're like, that sounds like Marvel. Yeah, you should marvel. It should be a wonder, but it's exceedingly greater than anything we've ever seen. Yes, problem is we're living so far underneath that. And then if we even get a glimpse of it, we want to go and try to control and rule people. And that's the exact opposite of what Jesus showed us. You know, if we're going to have authority, it's got to be authority over the darkness. It's got to be authority over the garbage. I get excited, Don, when you say you came in and the confusion's going. Like, yeah, like that's what it's all about. So church, if you're bored, check your heart. I'll be honest with you. If you're like, man, when is this going to end? Check your heart, because something's not right. Man, we should be like Rod's got to have security up here holding people back because we're so excited. Because people are getting set free. And the more that understand who they are in Christ, the more people will get set free. So we're created for good workmanship. Chapter 3, verse 8. Kind of taking a stroll through Ephesians. You know, we said don't boast, because this is Paul who starts off now in verse 8. He says, to me, who am less than the least of all the saints, you know, and he doesn't say it like, oh, woe is me, I'm the least of all of them. Paul's just aware of his past. You know, I know my past, but it's not like he goes, but I'm stupid. No, he's just like, hey, if I were to have to judge myself on earthly realms, I'm kind of like the least of all these people. But then he goes on. He does amazing things and writes most of the New Testament. He says, to me, who am least than all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Christ. So take a second and realize that all things were created through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ now lives inside of you, the exceedingly great and abundant power. We're not called to just go to church, sing a few songs, and go home and go, I'm thankful that I'm saved. We're called to change this world. We're called to change our families. And we don't do it by shoving Jesus Christ down their throat. We do it by just simply having the exceedingly great power that rests inside of us. When somebody has an issue, you could just pray for them. Or you could be praying for them all the time anyway. And when you meet up with them and you're glowing with peace and joy and love, they're like, why? What is going on? And then it says this. This blows my mind. Verse 10. So, exceedingly great power. That exceedingly great power gets put inside of us. Resurrection power now lives on the four, all of us, the four that were water baptized. We have good works that he created us for us to do. And then verse 10 says, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. So you think about that. God has this plan that he would put this great and exceedingly abundant power and wisdom and understanding inside of us. And then he says, oh, by the way, you have good works for you to do, because I want you to literally mess up the principalities and powers. I'm going to show the world, I'm going to show the principalities and powers my manifold wisdom through you. Through you. Turn to your neighbor and say, you. But if we don't understand again, what did he start with in Ephesians? He's like, you got to understand who you are. And I'm praying and I'm on my knees for a spirit of wisdom and revelation and understanding that you will know the hope of your calling and who you are. So what does it look like? So often, oh man, I'm coming aware of how often we live on earthly standards. I'm not done yet. Sorry. I got to go a little further. We're going to actually flip over to Colossians now. It says very similar, but I love what it says in Colossians better and how he says it. Go to Colossians 3. Okay, so just a quick recap. The incredible, exceedingly abundant power that's in Jesus Christ that raises him from the dead, puts him above, far above, all, not like a little bit hovering, far above all principalities. That same power, now when you confess your sin, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, go through the baptisms, that exceedingly great power now rests inside of you. And you are now seated in heavenly places. Your spirit man is now beyond. So we're not supposed to live. Do you remember the other day I talked about the high pressure systems, low pressure systems? Come on, we're living in high pressure systems. We got to stop thinking low pressure. We got to start thinking we're in high pressure systems. We are the ones that change the environment. All right, so now we're sitting exceedingly high above. We're called to do great works. We're called to show the manifold wisdom of Jesus Christ upon the earth. And then in verse 3 it says, hey, then if you were raised with Christ. Now he's not talking about when you go to heaven, because you can't do these things when you're in heaven. So you're talking about right now, right on earth. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. So seek is something you do. It's something you go after. You're like, you know, if you're playing hide and go seek, you don't sit on your chair and go, I'm coming to find you. Well, maybe when you have grandkids, you sometimes do, but that's not really going to work. Especially when you see their little feet sticking out. You're like, coming to find you. Okay, so raised with Christ, that was a terrible analogy. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth, for you died. Everybody say, you're dead. And that's a good thing. Your old man died. Man, we got 4 dead bodies in that tank. We just let them drain out. And then Tim takes the lawnmower and chops them. Anyway, okay. Set your mind on things above, not on the things that... Set your mind. See, you people, set your mind. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. You put him off, he's dead. And you put on the new man. It talks about clothing yourself with the new man, which is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. I'm reading all that as quick as I can because we so often go back to comparing ourselves in the body of Christ. And we look at our faults and we look at our failures and we look at how far we're not going. And then we try to go back. Anybody else go, man, I got to start fasting more often right now. And you know in the back of your mind you're trying to get further. And there is a time to fast because God calls you to. But there's a time where you're like, man, I just hate how I look. I hate how my spiritual life is going. And I'm a mess. And man, if I just read 4 more chapters a day, I think I'd be better. That's called works. It's called works. Now, are all those things good? Absolutely. But when you're doing to try to get better, you're going to fail every time. You may be able to sustain it for a little bit, but you're going to go right back. You're going right back to the law and trying to make it all happen. So I got this anvil up here because we started with the whole idea of this, you know, taking your sickle, which is already quite a weapon, actually, now that I look at it. But we're taking, pretend this is not as fancy and beautiful. And it's like we're going to take this and make it into, in the sense it was a spear, but pretend it's a sword, just because this is what I had. And you're like, okay, if this is what I'm called to be, far above and exceedingly greater than anything, like this is what you're called to be. And people will say, well, you're just puffing people up. You're just trying to give them a false hope. No, I just read to you that Jesus Christ lives inside of us. We're supposed to do things that are far exceedingly and above anything we can imagine or believe. Jesus Christ said, you will do greater things than even I. So why are we not? Because we still believe in our, we still set our minds on what we see. We still compare. We have people that come in. Maybe you compare yourself to me. Dear God, don't do that. I sat there on Friday night and I was given a prophetic word. A word that I kept telling people up until like literally last week, because I had a prophetic word yet again that I'm going to write a book. Literally last week, I'm like, I'm not going to write a book. I don't need to write. There's so many books out there. I walked through Barnes and Nobles. What do we have by Chapters and Indigo? I'm like, look at all the books. I don't need to write one. And then she comes in and I asked her. She went to use me as an analogy. And as soon as she started, it came out. And I'm sitting there. I'm going, for Pete's sake, I don't want to write a book. You ask Brandy what it's like to write a book. And Tom Crandall came in here. He's like, don't ever write a book if you don't have to. I'm like, I don't want to write a book. Not a suggestion. I know. She's like, this is not a suggestion. This is a directive. And then she goes as far as saying, because it's about writing a book that will be helping fathers to father the fatherless, and it'll help with revival among youth. And then she says, and if you don't do that, what does that mean? Because if that's a directive, that means revival among youth won't happen. I'm like, oh my gosh. You know what this hammer's for? It's not... So what did I do? I started to take stock of all my earthly abilities. It's totally what I started to do. Oh, I can't write like that. What do I... Like, what does that even mean, how to train people to be fathers of the fatherless generation? I just start thinking through it all. I start talking myself out of it. I start talking, because you know what? I've been through this and I didn't do it. I had a prophetic word from Dr. Mike Brown. I still have the journal that's got 3 pages written in it with your card, Claude, because you gave me the journal. So excited to see the fruit of our labor, of your labor. And every time I look at that to start, I'd feel condemned because I didn't do it. And even recently, I began to say, Lord, if this is something that you want me to do, forgive me for wasting time. And dear Lord, help. And then I told somebody I'm not going to write a book. And then she tells me I'm going to write a book. So I start looking at all my earthly qualifications and what do I have to write a book and all these thoughts. And I set my mind on the earth. I was not setting my mind far above, exceedingly above, greater things. You know, I was not looking at the power of God that's within me. Because if it's going to be a good book, it better not be my words. Right? Like, honestly, you could write, there's so many books. So I have to put the microphone down. What I do when I'm doing that, protective glasses, I'm actually, I don't even know how to describe it, but all I am honestly banging myself in the head. No, I don't need help. But I'm looking at all the earthly words, and instead of making this into a spear, I'm just basically clobbering myself. I am creating something, honestly. Can't see you guys. I'm creating a deeper level of insecurity within me when I do that. That's all I'm doing. I'm not setting my eyes on Jesus. I'm looking at all my natural abilities, and nothing will ever happen. You know, so I could go, oh, maybe I should go to writing school and do all these things. God never asked me to go to writing school. He would have given me that directive if he wanted me to go to writing school. I hate having to say this because everybody's going to keep me accountable. And that's what she actually told everybody, to keep me accountable. So, what do? I take my earthly ability. I'm just getting a revelation. Wow. And I start banging out what it's called to be. And I don't go, I'm stupid. I'm dumb. I don't do that. Because Joel talks about taking these and beating it. And by the way, you know what's so cool? That word beat actually almost means forge. I love that. It means to forge, to beat like a blacksmith. And instead I begin to go, God, I thank you that you're inside of me. Father God, I thank you that you want me to write. You're going to put the words inside of my mouth. Father God, I thank you for spiritual wisdom and spiritual revelation. And listen, on Friday, before all this, you can keep holding it. I dropped so low in my spirit. Like Friday morning, I plummeted him. I don't even know why. And I'm thinking about my message, and I'm like, I'm going for a walk. I'll hold it for a second. And I started on my walk, and I knew enough now to go, I know where I'm at, and I know where I need to be. So I started with the very thing you prophesied. Bible, I feel weak right now, but I'm strong. I thank you that I'm strong. And I began to walk. And you would be amazed at what happens in your spirit. Because I went from, okay, I feel weak right now, but I'm strong. And then before you know it, I'm like, I'm strong. Oh my gosh, am I strong? And you go like, that's self-talk. No, it's not. It is, but it's not. What I'm doing is I didn't have a chance to write truth. I'm taking truth on here. I'm beginning to tell myself and prophesy over my own self what God says I am. And you may not have prophetic words to do it with, but listen, the Bible, just you could take that one alone and go, I am not weak, I am strong. It says, let the weak say, so it does say that you may feel weak, but it says, let the weak say I am strong. So you're like, let the weak say I am strong. What does it say? By faith comes by hearing. I am strong. I am strong. I am strong. You know, and it sounds like we're just making this up. No, you're telling yourself what you are. So the journey I have to go on is I have to make myself available now. I have a journal already. It's been sitting there getting ready for me for 10 years. That journey, that journal is the ripest journal. It's, you know, it's ready. But if you think I'm going to get up every day and go, I'm so stupid, why would I ever write anything? It's like you block out the ability for God to speak. But what would happen if we began to believe that the exceedingly great power that is above all other principalities and powers literally rests inside of us, which it does. But there's something about what God designed is it doesn't come, it doesn't work without faith. It doesn't work without you activating it. So when we keep telling ourselves how dumb and the abilities that we don't have, you just continue right along with the devil's plan. You just keep doing exactly what he planned for you all your life. But join with me on a journey because you're going to have to watch me unfold. I don't even know what I'm going to write about, to be honest with you. God does. I'm like, God, this is going to be good because I have no idea. It's not like I can take my incredible experience and go, I've raised 1,000 fatherless kids into fathers. No, he's literally going to have to give me a word, a word from heaven that will spark even my own life, which is really exciting. I can't wait to read it. Amen. But I'm telling you, if we don't start doing this, you know, if we can't help Dawn and Lisa begin to discover the greatness of the power of God inside of them by teaching them to go, oh, no, no, man, that's who you used to be, Dawn. No, that's not who you are. Yeah, but I feel like this today. Yeah, we all feel like that at times, but that's not who we are. Because it wouldn't have said to set your mind. He's teaching. He's doing what I'm doing. He's like, man, you guys got to set your mind. You got to take this stuff off. It's like old grave clothes. You got to unwrap yourself. Get it off you. You don't think like that anymore. But I just did. I know you did. But that's not who you are anymore. Begin to take it off. And here, by the way, let me give you a hammer of truth. And let me take your little giftings and you begin to just pound out the truth. Start with this. I am the righteousness of Christ. Like every day if you wake up and go, I don't feel righteous today, but I am the righteousness of Christ. And you pound that into your heart, I'm telling you, it's going to change your life. If you're battling perversion, if you're battling being impure, by the way, that's what righteousness and holiness is for. So you could say, but I feel this way. I know you feel that way, but I thank you, Father God. I am pure in you. I am holy in you. I am righteous in you. I may feel this way, but this is who I am. This is how I am. And it will change your life. And so today, we'll all go through another week and we'll all have moments, but if you can go, you know what? Pastor said this, I am not seated here. I am seated in heavenly places. Which, by the way, you can oversee all the garbage now. And, oh, I see your little trick, devil. I'm not going there. I go there every time, but not this time. I'm exceedingly above. I'm better than this. Mac, do you know, you're here today, so I just got to pick on you, that your picture was the beginning of understanding this for me? Do you realize that? I know you just draw, and I always talk about it. Because when I was in my darkest times, you drew this picture of me with a sword on a mountaintop like this. But I was like, I don't even have a little sword. You know, I felt like this. And I was able to take that drawing, and I often pull it out and remind myself, oh, yeah, that's who I am. Oh, yeah, that's who I am. That's right. You drew that in the moment. So, and I always want to encourage you because, buddy, that got me through a season. Amen. So please stand, and then we got to go to our business meeting. Thank you. I'm telling you, the body of Christ is going to wake up. It is waking up. Don't be a consumer. Be active. And you got to listen to that word by Annie. Because she says even harsher things. Like if you keep thinking, oh, you know, if we have all these excuses, we got to stop making excuses. We just got to start believing the truth of God and what he spoke. Or like she said, this is all bunk. It's all a lie. It's either true or it's a lie. So let's go for a grand journey together and go for the next year. Let's go put everything into this. Come on, begin to just speak over yourself daily the truth of God. Because there are a whole bunch of people waiting that you can't see that desperately need freedom. So, Father God, we just thank you for the exceeding greatness Greatness actually, in this, it means magnitude, the exceedingly great magnitude of your power that rests inside of us. The same power that raised you up from the dead now is raising us up. And I just pray, Father God, that this church would come alive. That, Father God, at 10 o'clock, we would be bursting. No more of this getting here late. Let's get over this and let's get to work. Let's just begin to pray for people as they walk through the doors. Let's get excited over people that are coming for life. Let's worship like we've never worshiped before. Let's begin to really let our praises be our weapon. And we just begin to worship and set this place, this house, this county, and this nation on fire with you, Father God. I pray that you would stir us up like never before. And I thank you that we don't have to make it happen. We have to rest in what you have done and remind ourselves of that daily. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.